This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I was rushing around this morning, getting plenty of things ready for church, running around and worship, and getting all that going. And then my daughter's having a meltdown, and she's not doing well. And my mom's caregiver's on vacation. Pastor Rick's on vacation. My mom's not doing well. I said, okay, Lord, here I am. We're here to worship. I'm going to look to you because I can't do anything about all these other people right now, right? All I can do is focus on Jesus. And Satan loves to take our focus off him. But just all it takes is a song like that to get you pumped up and get your focus back, right? Oh, man. Amen. And this text is, I get to finish the story, Robert, that you started. Because the Bible talks about lions in different ways. It talks about some people can be like lions nipping at us. At our heels. You ever had somebody feel like, no matter what you're doing, they're nipping at your heels, and nothing's good enough, and they're attacking you? And so the Bible does talk about that type of an allegory of lions nipping at us. It talks about the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, as the enemy who tries to steal our souls, to steal our joy, steal our spiritual life, and would love to devour us. But we have the power of God to overcome that, and the power of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, right? It also talks in the Bible about literal lions like here in our text that we'll talk about. And then has another focus of what a lion is in the Bible, which you know, obviously, we just sang about. We'll talk later. But now we go to our story. It says Robert left us hanging last week, which I've had to do with Pastor Rick, would make you wait a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks for the rest of the story, the men in the fiery furnace and other things. And now, because now we have Daniel in the lion's den. But Chuck Swindoll talks about this and says, no, the title of this should not be Daniel in the lion's den. It should be the lion's in Daniel's den. Because Daniel takes possession of the land there in the power of God and becomes, this is for God, right? And so he's not going to let those lions get to him. And surely I found a song from VBS about 2, maybe 3 years ago about lions. And remember we used to sing that? And I had a blast of that. Let's see, oh no, baby, right, the bass, and I remember singing that and talking about the lions, but they can't touch my soul. Well, anyway, we sang that song, remember that? And I started thinking about that, and the story of Daniel in the lion's den is not just a kiddie story for Sunday school, but it's for us, for all of us, because we all face lions trying to chew us up, attack us, and it's nonstop, right? So, here's the good news. Because, now notice this. This is very interesting in our text. Because the king couldn't sleep all night, right? He didn't want to do this. He was caught by his own law of the Medes and Persians, to do this to Daniel. He got trapped by others. And so here he goes. He goes, well, I got to do this. And so the king was up all night. Ever had one of those nights worrying about somebody, how they're doing? And he's worried. No entertainment. No wine, women, or song. No TV. Shut off the TV. Shut off the stereo. No entertainment. No parties on this night because the king is worried about Daniel. But to make sure that the law of the Medes and Persians is held secure, what do? They sealed this den with the signet of the king. So they had it sealed. Now, let's just think about somebody who was in a tomb and had the tomb sealed, right? It was the day before he rose from the dead because Jesus' own friends and his followers forgot about the promise of resurrection, but his enemies remembered, and so they went to Pilate the day before Easter Sunday, and he said, sir, we remember this imposter said that he was going to rise after 3 days, so make this tomb secure, seal it, so that the last lie is not greater than the first lie. And Pilate said, you have a guard, you secure it, and so you had the seal of Pontius Pilate on that tomb to make sure that he wouldn't come back, that this religion would die. Well, so you had that going on, right? Interesting little connection there. And so then you had the king up all night. Early at sunrise, the king goes to the den. Now let's see. The first Easter, what happened on sunrise? We have our sunrise services for a reason, quote-unquote sunrise, right? I still remember seeing Jerry in his recliner. That was a great time. Now let's see what happened that sunrise. The women went to the tomb. Well, the stone is rolled away. The seal is broken. There's no body there. There's no death there either. The king comes early sunrise, comes to that tomb of death. It should have been a tomb of death. And what does he find? Light. He finds Daniel fine and dandy, just sitting there, oh, king, live forever, I'm fine. God sent his angel to stop the mouths of the lions. And there's a painting of this story. It has Daniel not looking at all the lions, looking up to heaven, focusing totally on God. And you see all these lions just kind of looking like little kitty cats. What's that? The one behind me? No, not exactly, but that's pretty close. That, actually, that's not the one I was thinking of, but thank you. That's a real good one. There's a story that I won't tell. One time I was preaching about the power of God in nature, and as an Ahwatukee, we had a glass enclosure behind me, and all of a sudden a storm hit, and the water's coming down off the roof, and I got this waterfall right behind me. And I'm going, well, maybe you can't see God at work in nature, but he's still working. And they go, Pastor, if you turn around, you can see God at work in nature right now, this waterfall, the storm. But anyway, yes. Yeah, just got to turn around. There's a story there. Yeah, so that's exactly it. And who is the focus on? It's not the lions. And I'm preaching to myself, and we focus on our problems. What happens? We give into the lions. So we had to keep focused on Jesus. When Peter was walking on the water, right? He said very brashly, Lord, you called me to come out. I'm coming. Just said, come on down. Jesus said, come on. Peter was walking in the water, doing fine until of Jesus, and he started looking at the waves and hearing the wind, and so on. And he goes, what am I doing walking on water? And he fell. But Jesus pulled him right back. And when we have small or little faith, Jesus helps us. So anyway, amen. Daniel is focusing on the true Lion King, the King of all. And he is rescued. So Daria, we talked about this allegory in the Bible, another way of the use of lion, and that is the Lion of Judah. There are the 12 tribes of Israel, right? And the Messiah would come out of one of those tribes, and it came out of the of Judah. And it talks about the Lion of Judah would come out of Judah and would be reigning forever as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I have this, it's right over my desk all the time, and it says from Isaiah, Revelation 5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed, which is from Revelation 5. And then from 1 Corinthians 15, now thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's a picture of the Lion of Judah. So he is the Lion King, right? Not the lions in the lion's den. We've got a different lion who can shut their mouths and just say, hey, be quiet, kitties. Just kitty, kitty, be quiet. Knock it off. Who can yell at a storm and say, be still, put a muzzle on it. Literally, the Greek means, put a muzzle on it, storm, knock it off. And we pray to God that he would do that today and tomorrow in Florida, right? I know a lot of people praying that. But anyway, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion of Judah. There is a series of stories for kids called the Chronicles of Narnia. And in there, Aslan is the lion, right? Who's the ruler. And it's like an allegory of Jesus, because this lion was killed and comes back to life, and he's larger and stronger. And he was very powerful, but very kind. And the kids were talking about this. Aslan said, oh, he's awesome, he's wonderful. They said, yes, but he's not tame. But he is good. And he is kind, right? And our God, Jesus, he's not some mamby-pamby, though. We just tell him what we want to happen. He is all God. He's all-powerful. And when his best friend, John, saw him after his resurrection in the vision, John was terrified because he saw Jesus in all his power and all his glory, unlike before his crucifixion, right? Now Jesus had all his glory, and John felt like a dead man, and Jesus had to pick him up and say, look, no, it's okay, it's okay. Do not be afraid. And Jesus says, I hold the keys of heaven and hell, life or death. And he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And it's interesting that this king got another problem. I'll tell you, these kings need psychiatrists here. Because either they promote somebody, oh, you're the best of all the world here. Here's all the bling, here's all the money. We're going to promote you to number one, number two in the land. Either you're promoted to the sky high in the penthouse, or you're back in the outhouse down below, and either thrown into a lion's den, thrown into a fire furnace, cut to pieces, whatever the threat might be. There's no in between with this guy. What's that? Yeah, I know. And that, a lot of times that happened in those days. The family would suffer, But that happens today sometimes. Unfortunately, family members suffer, unfortunately, because of what happens to other person's choices. The whole family suffers, right? Which is really, really, really sad. But it's interesting that these kings will come up with these wonderful prophetic sayings that they must have been listening at least a little bit to Daniel and the three men in the fiery furnace to kind of say these things. Now, he said some stupid things about the spirit of the gods is in you, but we would know that to mean the Holy Spirit. The king didn't understand that, but that's what we know what that means. But here, listen to what this king says. He says, because it's pretty amazing, really, and it's very true. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. And that's true, right? Of his kingdom, which shall not end. This is the eternal kingdom. All the other kings would come and go, but not this king, not the king, the lion king. He will roar forever, and he will come back. And boy, will he roar. And he will come, but he will come for his people, and we don't have to be afraid of this lion. Because he will come as a lamb as well as a lion. The lamb who was slain that became the sacrifice for all of our sins. All our sins are forgiven. All of them, total. Totus peccatus, as Pastor said in the Spanish. Totus peccatus. Totus. All of them. Not that one. Yes, that one and this one and anything else. Jesus takes it all. He becomes the lamb and the lion. And his kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. There will never come a time where Jesus gets deposed. Say, he didn't get reelected. Somebody else is now in charge. Jesus is in control, right? It may not feel like it, but he is coming again. He rescues and he saves. I think of this last year's VBS. Jesus for the rescue, right? He rescues. He still rescues people from their problems and through sins and addictions, right? He's still in the business of rescuing. And he's still saved. He is Savior. That's what his name means. Jesus means Savior. You need a Savior? I need a Savior? We've got one right here in Jesus who saved Daniel and saves us. He performed signs and wonders. The king says something that liberal theologians can't understand. This king gets it. He performs signs and wonders today. He still roars like a lion. He's still on the move. God is on the move. Jesus is on the move. Maybe we don't see it a lot because we're too busy. People in Africa see it a lot. In India, see it a lot. China, see it a lot. Underground churches, see it a lot. Poor, indigent people who cry out to Jesus, see him and feel him and have visions of Jesus, like Bruce had. He is still talking. He is still loving. He is still saving. He is the God. He is alive. He rose from the dead, and he still is. You know, we talk so much about the resurrection on Easter, but we should be talking more about it all the time, because every Sunday was supposed to be a little Easter, a small Easter. Really? All right. All right. Here we go. He is here in our heart. He is here right now. And we love his presence, don't we? And I hope you get more used to it. A lot of guys, especially guys, have trouble with that whole thing of God's presence. Like, well, what do you mean? How do you pray to someone you can't see? You can't hear? Well, we see and we hear in a different way. We have to put our spiritual ears and eyes to work, and we can see him. Because he's still moving. He's still here. Huh? And all in Scripture. Yes, sir. It's all in God's Word. In fact, I was listening to a preacher, and he talked about the fact that this one guy was in a mess. He needed healing. He needed help. He just started reading the Bible. He really didn't totally believe. Just started reading it. And all of a sudden, his heart started to come alive. And he got healed while he was reading the Bible. He didn't even pray about it. He just got healed as he was reading the life-giving Word of God, and the Word of God spoke to him, as we just sang, Word of God speak, and he spoke to him. So Jesus is the Word, and this is his Word that he speaks to us, and this Word is still alive. It's one thing to read and memorize all this stuff, but it's another to meditate on it, and like Pastor Rick says, read it with your heart, not your mind. Read it with your heart, right? And no matter what we go through, whether it be good or bad, right, friend? God is with you. He's with you. He's been with you, right? He's with you guys. No matter what, he's with us with back pain, with death. Jesus gets the last word, right? And it's victory for us. We're on the winning side. We just got to stay close to Jesus. He says, stay close to me, you'll be all right. If we get away from Jesus and the storms come, not so good. But stay close to Jesus, just hold on to me. I'll go before you, and I'm talking to myself here, that he will be with us. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. What lions are you facing? I've got my lions this morning. Oh, boy. Yeah. What lions are you facing? All kinds of lions out there. They're invisible, many of these lions, that want to tear us apart and tear away our faith. And sometimes they wait, like a lion many times will track down, will stalk a weak animal that's behind the rest of the pack and wait for that weak one or young one to get away from the rest of the group. They're isolated and they're weak and then pounce on them. So that's not fair. Satan doesn't play by the rules, right? Thank you. Yes. Stay close to Jesus. Stay close to each other. Because if we start pulling away, that's not good. It is not good. And we can say that over and over as pastors, but it's very true. So whatever lions are trying to chase after us with our kids or grandkids or work or health or whatever it might be, who do we look to? We look to the King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion King. We look to the one who's still roaring, but also speaks in a tender voice, in a still, small voice, who speaks our name and speaks out love and speaks over us with life and forgiveness and compassion and that amazing grace, that tender mercy. And we all need that, right? And we all need it. So we go to the Lion. There's a ball player who has a nickname of Lion Tamer from an African language. He took this nickname because he's kind of a go-getter guy type of thing, take on anything. And he talked to a lion tamer in Africa who would take on lions. Now, how's that for a job, right? I'm a lion killer. Oh, really? And this wasn't Clarence, a cross-eyed lion or some sort of weak little lion who would take on these wild lions of the jungle, because a lot of times the families would feel threatened by the lions and they get too close to their villages. They'd have to get this lion tamer, lion killer, to go out, the lion hunter, to go out there. So we need a lion hunter to take care of the enemy. But Jesus is the one who did that, right? He conquered sin, death, and the power of the devil. So we are on the winning side. We just got to stick close to Jesus, and we'll all be all right. So we pray to Him, to the Lion King, right now. Lord Jesus, You are here, as we mentioned. And we love Your presence, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, for what You're doing, what You will do. And Lord, we just thank You for all the gifts, all the blessings we receive here at Amazing Grace, because You are amazing, God. We thank and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.